This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is pretty cool. Just saw the confirmation in my email inbox. It's going to be Miller time, Stephen Miller time tomorrow in this 8 o'clock hour of this show. Stephen Miller, prominent border policy advisor to President Donald J. Trump. He's going to be with us here on Montana Talks. Looking forward to that. But, hey, we got John Jackson. We got Joker time going on right now. John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, with us here every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. John, good to see you.
Good to see you. And it's good to hear that Miller's going to be on the show tomorrow. I mean, you talk about a guy who's not only an assassin and a just cold-blooded, true conservative, but he's also in that, what, top three, top five people out of Trump's administration who have never turned on him, who have never betrayed him, ratted him out, anything. He's still, to this day, a solid guy.
Well, and I remember when the Trump rallies were going on before Trump got elected president, and he had a rally here in Montana, there were people that were like, they would come just to hear Stephen Miller speak, let alone Donald J. Trump speak as well, and because he really could articulate and was one of the architects of President Trump's border strategy. So, of course, he is sounding off, but he went off on Liberal Senator John Tester in a series of tweets over the weekend, not only, of course, about the southern border, you know, Liberal Senator John Tester voting against the Laken Riley Act. He called that unconscionable, called Tester the biggest fraud in all of politics. Says everyone in D.C. knows that Tester is a hardcore liberal and Schumer's lackey. But then he asked a good question. And actually, I saw this was shared by our friend Irene Almeida via X. She shared this with you and I. Stephen Miller raised a good question here. Has one paper in Montana even reported on Tester's vote to free criminal migrants? Has even one news outlet reported on the series of bad votes that John Tester just took this past weekend? Maybe somebody did, but other than the story I've got on our Montana Talks website, I haven't seen it anywhere else.
Well, you know, actually a valid reason why you haven't seen it anywhere is because of how the Republicans played it, right? They pull this budget nonsense. You know, they passed Joe Biden's entire budget last week, and then in a show, well, a complete show theater, the votes you're talking about, what they did was throw amendments onto the budget vote Friday night at 9 o'clock at night, and then act like they're going to hold up the budget. But then, you know, come the midnight hour, like they always say, just after midnight, they go through all these show votes and then they actually approve the budget anyway.
And the Democrats vote against all of the border security measures. The Democrats vote against an amendment regarding men and women sports. And so, yeah, but what's interesting is John Tester did not want to have to cast those votes. He did not want to be put in a tough position. He knows his positions are unpopular with Montanans, but his base is so radicalized right now that he had to vote, even in an election year, in support of this crazy open borders agenda and the crazy transgender agenda, too. All right, more to follow. John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, we're taking your phone calls as well. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most of us make some kind of economic plan for our retirement, for better or for worse. We try to set money aside, pay down our mortgage, and think about what we'll live on. And we plan on Social Security as part of that equation. But the plan for Social Security itself, the giant national retirement plan we've paid into all our working lives, is something I call the no plan. Because not a single thing is being done to prepare the plan itself for the future. Even though we've known for decades that its revenues will fall short of its promised payments soon. The current projection is that year will be in 2032. Some say that Social Security will run out of money. That's totally false. It will have hundreds of billions of revenue, but its obligations will be higher. The no plan plan then kicks in. Payments will cut substantially to make ends meet. How much? Perhaps by 20% or more. That's the plan of anyone who says we can't touch Social Security. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton was on Fox News Sunday. I played a longer version of this clip for you yesterday on Monday's show, but I want to tee this up for our conversation with John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, here this morning as well. So, again, to the point, John Tester did not want to cast these horrific votes on late into Friday, early Saturday morning, because he's in a pinch right now. He's got such a radicalized base. The Montana Democrat Party has become so radical left that they won't let him get away with it on some of these issues. So he had to vote for open borders. He had to vote against the Lake and Riley Act. He had to vote for men in women's bathrooms and men in women's locker rooms and men in girls' sports. Because when it comes to the transgender agenda and the open borders, they will not allow him to do this fake, phony, moderate game that he always plays every election year. So it's interesting, this pinch that he's in. Tom Cotton was talking about the fact that Tester went running and hid in the elevators because he didn't want to face questions from reporters.
He was saying that to senators privately, whatever he was saying publicly. But again, it's not just John Tester. It's people like Sherrod Brown and Bob Casey as well, very vulnerable Democratic incumbents who are scared to death to vote on anything related to our border because they don't want to offend the open borders ideologues in their own party, but they realize that it's toxic. Or voting against, say, making sure men can't play in women's sports, or against sanctions relief for Iran. That's why we were voting at 2 a.m. in the morning on Saturday morning, is because Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats are bending themselves into pretzels trying to avoid accountability for Joe Biden's failed policies.
Now, and of course, that quote goes on here, John. But, John, the quote that I really liked from Stephen Miller just nailed Tester. How many dirt farmers do you know that think men in dresses should compete in our girls' sports leagues and undress in their locker rooms? Oh, I'm just a poor old dirt farmer.
I got to ask you a question here. And I heard you say a minute ago before the clip that John Tester went running into an elevator.
Okay.
Now, I'm not seeing that.
Well, thanks for holding me accountable. That was probably inaccurate. We want to be accurate here.
I think waddling maybe, or
I don't know. Did you remember when he was sprinting down those stairs? Remember when he was like circling it was like they had a special meal deal at the Bistro Cacao in Washington, D.C. He was moving. He was like Forrest Gump. I was running.
Yeah.
He can move. I mean, I'll criticize him over his votes, but that boy can move. Yeah.
I got to ask a question. I see here about a week ago on Twitter, he's doing some event up in Whitefish, and here he is appearing with if I remember, it was 5 or 6 members of the Whitefish Police Department. Now, I want to ask if anybody in that area up there is listening to your show, Aaron, and knows anybody on the Whitefish Police Department. I want to ask you, as a 30-year veteran of law enforcement myself, what in the world are you doing appearing with any Democrat anywhere? These people have spent the last 15 years taking down your profession, and you're out there appearing with a Democrat. What is the matter with you?
Yeah, when you think about it, I mean, I've talked with law enforcement officers here in Montana. Why are you so busy right now? Why are you dealing with youth gang violence and fentanyl and Mexican drug cartels? Because of John Tester's open borders. So, I mean, that's a good question. My assumption is John, is that, okay, so Whitefish has a very liberal city council, right? And a lot of liberal voters in Whitefish. So they hire, you know, so that's why John Tester would have to go to a Whitefish, in order to do a photo op with law enforcement officers, is he's hoping he can force their chief to do a little photo op for his campaign, basically.
Well, I tell you, you know how you can spot. You won't hardly ever find anybody who's the real deal in law enforcement or in the military that is a Democrat. Anybody who's actually been there and done that on the street, in the battlefield, on the battlefield, is never going to be a liberal. So that's how you know. You see these people appearing with Democrats. These are keyboard rangers is who they are. They are office boys. They're pod boys.
What if the chief made me do it, John? The chief made me do it because the chief's a Democrat and he got appointed by the city and he's trying to just save his job.
Guess what? No chief, no boss out there can force you to do a political event. They cannot.
Good point. No, exactly. And why would you dare stand alongside the look, here's the deal. Even if you like this guy, even if you fall for his phony, fake, moderate stuff, he is the one that empowers AOC. He is the one that empowers the defund. You know why the defund the police movement has power on Capitol Hill? Because of John Tester. His one seat is the reason your enemies who bash law enforcement officers all across this country, the reason they're in power in Washington right now is because of that one U.S. Senate seat. You remove him from power in November, you take a major shot at the anti-police movement in America.
And I got to do my weekly thing again, just in case anybody hadn't heard it the last 3 weeks I've been on here, is that all of y'all out there in Montana government, listen to this right now, y'all better be ready for November, because if y'all think they're just going to stand up and have a straight election here, when the U.S. Senate hangs in the balance, they are not. They're coming in here with everything they got, including their little cheating schemes.
Well, and they're going to have their seminar callers, and they're going to be propping up the libertarians. They're going to try to get people to vote libertarian as much as possible, because that's how the anti-liberty party, which is the Democrat Party, will attempt to stay in power. All right, we got Mike in Big Timber. We got Lee in Kalispell, both on the phone lines. We'll get to both of you here right after this. John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, sidekicking with us as well. You can message us on our Montana Talks app if you've got a quick message you'd like to get out there as well.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. Mike in Big Timber first up. Good to hear from you, Mike. What's going on this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't know if you heard about this, but there's a new outfit that's started up by the Department of Justice called the Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center, who have just initiated new red flag laws. And what it is they're setting up training for all levels and all sorts of folks with technical assistance and money to keep guns from people who could be at risk to themselves and others. And what I worry about is, and they'll have behavior specialists and all sorts of folks, but what I worry about is if a veteran claims to have PTSD, to them, that'll be a risk. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, exactly. Yeah. Well, and we've seen where the VA had, you know, the Biden VA recently had to be told no when it comes to basically a gun control effort that they were pushing, targeting veterans. And you're right. Why would veterans go seek care, especially important mental health care, if they're afraid that they're going to have their gun rights stripped away from them by the VA, right? It just discourages folks from seeking care, which is what we want to encourage more of, especially with the mental health crisis we have, not just in you know, Montana at large, but in especially in the veterans community. No, great point. Mike, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. John, first, I've got something from Dana Lash here that ties in with exactly what Mike was talking about that I shared via X over the weekend. Sounds like you're tracking this story as well.
Yeah, they waited right till after they signed the budget to announce this. And what it is funding. They're going to fund these red flag initiatives by these blue states all over the country, because they know they these blue states and their police departments don't have the time or the money for this. So they're going to take your money and fund it for them.
Yeah, I saw Vice President Kamala Harris was, you know, virtue signaling about this. She was invoking the memory of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, and she says, We know what works. Universal background checks, red flag laws, an assault weapons ban. Legislators must act. And Dana Loesch tore right into her over that one. None of that would have worked. You know why? Because the sheriff there ignored over 30 calls made to the police warning them about the killer's violent behavior. They were all ignored. The school had to hire a babysitter to accompany him to class because he was so violent. They knew that shooter was a threat. And in fact, the Obama administration, you might recall, did away with preventative efforts that were used in the school system because they said, well, that was racist. So that's why they did away with some of these measures that schools could implement in order to get a threat out of a school.
Did you see Kamala Harris down in Puerto Rico the other day?
She goes down there.
Just
clap your hands to the beat.
She comes out of this place she's in, and there's this music playing, and she doesn't realize it's a protest song against her visit there from people that are far to the left of her. And she just starts clapping and singing, and you see an aide leans over to her and gets in her ear like saying, hey, you know, they're protesting you. With this, she stops clapping.
Yeah, the terp standing next to her was like, "Well, what they're saying, Mrs. Vice President, is they're saying that your policy very bad." And stop clapping. And the look on her face is like, "Yeah, you know, it was pretty funny."
Well, you can imagine her chewing some subordinate's ass after that too. You guys let me walk out into that. You didn't tell me about that song, right?
Oh yeah, but then again, their staff is so radical. You know, radically anti-Israel, and you know, and radical left. That they would, of course, somebody in her staff deliberately, they knew that was going to happen, they were more than willing to do it because, remember, a lot of folks in the Biden White House. They have been mad at the fact that Biden is funding both sides of this war, where he is pretending to support Israel over here, but then also giving money to the Palestinians over here and the Hamas terrorists over here. Now, they're okay. The radical leftists in his administration are okay with him giving money to the Palestinian terrorists over here, but they do not like the fact that we support Israel also. But it's this double game where Biden and Tester are funding both sides of the war, and now they're in this pickle trying to deal with their radicalized base.
Yesterday marked a historic break in relations between the United States and Israel because of this moron Joe Biden. They up before the UN was a motion to have a ceasefire in that conflict, and Bibi Netanyahu already told the Biden regime. He said, "Look, he was going to send a delegation over to Washington to talk, and he said, if you guys do not vote that thing down, we're not sending a delegation. We're done here." And they abstained from it. So basically, it passed. It passed in the UN. It's purely symbolic, but still marks that dividing line where Israel said, "You know what? We're basically not even going to talk to you guys anymore. We're just going forward with what we want to do."
Yeah, why waste your time? Yeah. I mean, if they're just going to undermine you, stab you in the back, that's what the Biden administration has truly done. They have undermined our allies and funded our enemies in Tehran. Next up, let's go to Lee in Kalispell. Lee, what's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Yes, this deals with the Trump trial in New York. Now, I got two victims of the New York trial and a possible third one. The first one is the people of New York, because no one's going to want to invest there. The second one, that's the jury justice system of New York that they get. And the third one didn't happen, but it could have, that if the state had taken over Trump's properties, I heard they would have fired the people working for it there. And so I call them victims, too.
Well, and really, I think we, the American people, are victims of this political persecution against Trump in New York. But, and I'd imagine you agree on that front, Lee. Lee, thanks for calling in. Yeah, John, of course, the story that Lee is referring to here is President Trump and his legal team doing a victory lap after getting an appellate court to reduce his New York civil fraud case bond. They were trying to hit him with a $454 million bond. It's now been reduced to $175 million. And he's going to pay for that in cash. Cash, John. And they're doing a victory lap. It is a legal victory for them. But I mean, my personal opinion is he shouldn't have been forced to give even $1 in a bond to this nonsense. But it's still a victory for Trump nonetheless.
And in that same day, within hours of that victory, his new deal that he's done with True Social and that group taking it public, that makes him $1 billion in one day in stock market value, raising his total stated value at $6.5 billion, I believe, also pushing him into the top 500 richest men in the world. So yesterday was like double uppercuts to the left, and they were just crying all over social media, just whining. It was glorious.
Well, you know, MSNBC is going to need a little bit of time to process all that has happened here. It's a rough morning for them today.
Rona.
It's a rough morning for them because, man, they were getting ready to have another January 6th celebration after what they were hoping was going to happen yesterday instead.
Bank accounts frozen, property seized. By the end of today, this could be a reality for Donald Trump.
His assets, including some of these prized properties on the screen right there, could be seized if he can't make a nearly $500 million bond payment by the end of the day.
One more for you. Donald Trump could be forced to declare bankruptcy if he's unable to post his more than $450 million bond.
Just like Y2K, the countdown ended with nothing. Trump's buildings weren't seized. He wasn't bankrupted. He actually made $4 billion today.
There you go. That was Waters.
Glorious.
And that was his world. That was his world.
But, hey, well, did you see Frank Luntz, you know, the famous focus group guy?
Poster guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's on one of these mainstream media shows over the weekend, and he is really serious, like, upset. And he told the whole panel, he says, guys, you need to understand you cannot go up there into New York and start seizing Donald Trump's properties. You're going to raise his poll numbers by 5 points that very day that you do that. I'm begging you, don't do that.
Yeah, because MSNBC, yes, seize his assets, bankrupt him. And the pollsters are like, don't do it. I mean, they're already thinking, hey, he may be on a landslide trajectory if they do that. I mean, James Carville is already saying, it's over. It's over. The wall's over, Larry. I mean, and that's without them actually seizing his assets.
Well, I guess in the negotiations, they were putting forward, hey, you know, you could declare bankruptcy. And Trump's people told them flat out, says, no. Why don't you come on down here and start seizing Trump Tower, and we'll have a camera crew ready for you.
We got a crane you can use to remove the name off the tower if you want that for your visual
come on
CNN
down,
while
yeah.
you're at it. Yeah. Here was Trump's reaction that Waters had in that same great segment last night.
It's a sad day in our country in many respects, but the good day is that the appellate division was fair. It's a lot of money still, but the judge is corrupt, in my opinion. Greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and we will abide by that. We'll put up cash or bond very quickly.
All right. A reporter asked him a question. Well, President Trump, are you just going to use that cash for your campaign? Anyway, he had a great response on that, too, so I better share that one.
We got to get with David Noble.
The celebrations will continue.
See, talking with David before about these other stuff, see, the ruling has to be in some way commensurate with the damages, and there are no damages here.
Yeah, it's known as excessive fines. I asked David about that last week, and he's, oh, yeah, excessive fines. Well, blah, blah, blah. He's like a legal dictionary. Yeah, it was
oh,
great.
He's Rain Man. Oh, yeah.
That's right, on the law. The Rain Man on the law. That'd be a great commercial.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Since we were yapping about that one during the break just now, John, let's start there. I want to play the Trump sound, but okay, let's hold that thought for just a second. What we were talking about, the terror attack in Moscow, where, you know, all those people at the concert were gunned down. And ISIS is apparently claiming, a radical Islamic group claiming responsibility for it. Did you guys see them get hauled into court? Well, since we're there, let's just go there, John. Did you see these guys getting hauled into court? Let's just say if you commit a mass shooting in Russia compared to committing a mass shooting in America or a terrorist attack in America, you get you don't get the kid gloves treatment apparently over there that you would get here if you were committing the same type of attack.
They're Tajiks, I guess, that did this. Oh. I think 11 of them have been captured. And there's some really, really hinky stuff that is coming out about how they were hired and where they were headed to try and flee the country. You know, allegedly they were headed towards Ukraine. There's a lot of, and Putin is saying a lot of stuff about, you know, he thinks Ukraine was behind it and all that stuff. But very, very, we don't know yet, but very, very suspicious stuff that went on here. But yeah, what you're talking about, they immediately show the videos of these guys during their capture, when they were captured, and in their subsequent questioning. And the Russians are not really too fond of having a lawyer present when they question you. And the videos of them, I saw the video actually of them going down and taking a piece of this guy's ear right off his head.
It's a little bit more of a hands-on approach.
Yeah, a little bit more.
In Moscow.
And they told him, they said, you still got one more ear, buddy. Do you want to talk now? And that guy, you see that picture of him in the courtroom? There is a man that is really reconsidering this whole jihad thing. He is really thinking, I should have gone into real estate.
That's right. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. Well, let's get back. Well, and then, of course, you contrast that with in America when we had Guantanamo Bay detainees and terrorists, the ACLU and the left. They were just falling over each other. Well, we've got to make sure they're treated well. They're treated fairly. And, you know, we have a just legal system, and those same people now are trying to throw Trump's lawyers behind bars and trying to bankrupt their political opponents, and so they're just a bunch of frauds. Well, we were talking about President Trump and his response, really this victory lap that the Trump legal team was taking yesterday after the absurd bond was reduced. But Trump was asked, well, you know, because they were trying to take all his cash. They were trying to take all of his cash. And we all know why, because they don't want him to be able to campaign. They don't want him to be able to get his message out there. But he was asked by one of these reporters, in case this clip doesn't include the question, he was asked, are you just trying to use your cash for your campaign?
I have a lot of cash. You know I do because you looked at my statements. But I would also like to be able to use some of my cash to get elected. They don't want me to use my cash to get elected. They don't want that. They don't want me taking cash out to use it for the campaign.
But it was also kind of funny because before that, this reporter says, well, do you intend to use some of your cash for your campaign? And he says, well, that's none of your business. But yes, I do.
no comment, but yes. Listening to it, because we were in, as a federal agent, you get put in a different spot in your job. You have to take a case from ground zero, complex conspiracies, and you almost become sort of an attorney yourself because you have to understand that law well enough to put that case together and bring it to a federal prosecutor and just basically hand it to them with a bow on it. So, you know, I had a lot of experience at going through the law and understanding the law. And you listen to these cases and the law behind them, these cases going to New York and D.C. and Florida, it is all horse hockey. I mean, it is all Adam bullshit. It is complete Nazi tactics taking out a political opponent. There is absolutely no law behind any of it.
Yeah, well, and it once again, it exposes for the American people that what they are doing to Trump is what they've been doing to timber companies. It's what they're doing to the coal mining industry. It's what they're doing to small gun store owners. When you see what they're doing to Trump, remember they did the same thing to a gun store in Great Falls, Montana. They did the same thing to our sawmills in Montana. You know, they've filed, you know, these environmentalists will file lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit to halt these logging operations, and then they have but willing accomplices within the deep state federal government that go right along with it and are feeding them info throughout the process. So it's an example of what this massive federal bureaucracy has been doing to you all along. Let's go to Francis in Big Fork next up on the phone lines. Francis, always great to hear from you.
Well, thank you. Well, I was just going to say, Tester must have got another $1 million to vote the way he did, because he knows his chances of getting reelected just went down a lot. And so he's a communist just like they are.
Well, I think there's something to what you're saying with regard to.
And also, I heard that these Republican senators that all of a sudden are quitting, that they got big payoffs to do it, you know, in the House. And so I don't know if that's true, but it makes sense. Why would these guys quit? And then all of a sudden, they were all for us, and then all of a sudden they just quit. Mm-hmm. The rumor might be true.
There's something going on there, isn't there? Yeah, well, first topic first, Francis, thanks for the call. Basically talking about, okay, what is Tester getting for these votes? Because obviously these votes that he cast over the weekend are very unpopular with Montanans. But I think there's something to what Francis is saying, is that John Tester knew that if he voted against the open borders agenda, if he voted against the transgender sports agenda, he could lose a lot of campaign cash, and he needs that campaign cash to come back here and lie to Montanans. So he'll vote for open borders. He'll vote for men in girls' locker rooms, but he's going to use the cash, campaign cash they give him for making those votes to come back here and tell Montanans the opposite, that he's actually doing the opposite.
Well, just like we've talked about a lot of times before, he does not care, because he knows that Montanans, the only place you're ever going to hear about any of this is, say, on your radio show or on social media. If Montana voters are not on those two venues, you're never going to hear about it, because TV and newspapers here in Montana will never tell you any of it.
Again, send me a link if there's one available. Did any of them do a story on Tester's votes last weekend? But if he sends out some fake phony press release today, it'll be copy and pasted word for word tomorrow. Let's see. We got some messages that came in on our Montana Talks app with regard to the police officers that were maybe forced into taking part in this photo op with Liberal Senator John Tester. I've heard that other police officers may have to do similar types of deals. So Tester is clearly trying to stage these events with the very law enforcement officers he's been fighting against, by the way. Andy in Whitefish says this: it is terrible in Whitefish. Dial had to resign. That's right. Yeah, the former police chief had to resign. And the liberals are corrupt as the day is long. That was from Andy in Whitefish. Tim in Billings raises another important topic. Obviously, this is all over, blanketing the national news this morning. The sad news out of Baltimore, Maryland, where that bridge collapsed after that cargo ship ran into the bridge. And so rescue efforts are underway right now. All over the national news, I saw both Congressman Rosendale and Congressman Zinke are sending their thoughts and prayers out to the rescuers and to all the folks involved there. Tim in Billings sent us this message: Democrats use the Baltimore bridge collapse to try and push another so-called infrastructure bill that has more pork than a BLT with ham and sausage in 3-2. This bridge collapse, though, I've seen some of the video. It's crazy video. Obviously, a lot of people are wondering if something like this was intentional. There's nothing that they're saying right now that it does not appear to be intentional. They don't have information that suggests that it was intentional. But I think given all the threats around the world right now, cybersecurity, et cetera, nobody would be surprised if it was deliberate, right?
Well, if it was intentional, the time to hit it would be like, you know, rush hour. You know, hit that thing right at rush hour. God knows how many hundreds of people have gone down. But I think we need to see this as an opportunity right here, Aaron, to just go ahead and seal off the city of Baltimore and make it a open air prison. Like Escape from New York, we just send Snake Plissken in there, and we've got a ready made prison. You know, we already dropped that one bridge. We start sealing off the other exits, and
I did forget to warn people, this is the most unwoke hour of the week when John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, is with us here. The most unwoke hour of the week continues right after this. All right. I'm just glad I didn't mention the Secretary of Transportation's name there, Buttigieg. We got the mighty Human Z and Frank on the phone lines after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Democratic constituencies have a negative view of Biden's actions. You know, with African Americans, it's 41% negative view. Hispanic Americans, 53%. Women, 53%. Why do you think Joe has gone so hardcore trying to rally his base and bolster support in his base? Because he's losing the traditional coalition that represents the Democratic Party in droves. He's down 23.4% among African Americans, according to a number of polls, and where he was in 2020. You know, right now it's almost a dead heat with Hispanic Americans, again, down by over 20 points from where Biden was back in 2020.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Ronald Reagan took this country from the depths of inflation in the 1970s to economic prosperity in just a few years' time. He knows a thing or two about saving a country in distress, and now you can get your hands on a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. All qualified callers who call the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, this week will get a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. Call 855-815-GOLD and get yours free while supplies last. Ronald Reagan cut taxes, cut government spending, and gave us peace through strength. Now, you can celebrate this great president with a limited-run half-ounce silver coin from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. They're a seven-time Inc. 5000 winner, number one-rated gold IRA company with over 5,000 five-star reviews. Call them today at 855-815-GOLD and get your hands on a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Securing America.
America's national security infrastructure continues to react to the recent ISIS attack at a concert hall in Moscow. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Patrick Ryder spoke about the ISIS threat Monday.
It's something that we just have to keep after and not underestimate their ability to conduct these kinds of attacks.
The attack in Russia came one day after U.S. CENTCOM Commander General Eric Kurilla said this before the House Armed Services Committee.
I assess ISIS Khorasan retains the capability and the will to attack U.S. and Western interests abroad in as little as 6 months with little to no warning.
That sentiment echoed by Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio Monday on Fox and Friends.
ISIS would love to do what they did in Moscow here in the United States in multiple places if they could.
Rubio says the lack of security at the U.S. southern border makes it easier for ISIS to place personnel here for a potential attack.
I'll be present to win.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, Studio. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, before I forget, yesterday we were in Lodgegrass, and separate from the radio show, after the radio show, we did this really cool grocery store gift card giveaway. Thanks to, it was all paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. We're highlighting the massive inflation and how all the government spending coming from Biden and testers, what's driving up this massive inflation. And so we gave out these grocery store gift cards to make up for the inflation increases. And again, paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. Here's the deal. We can do this same event at, if you own a restaurant or a grocery store, cafe, a gym, we'll come fight inflation at your gym, you name it. We'll buy gift cards from you, do an event, get to meet a whole bunch of great folks. Send me an email because we'd love to do an event, whether you're in Great Falls, Kalispell, Helena, you name it. We'd love to come do an event in your neck of the woods as well. But later today, John, if you can make it for our Billings area listeners, we are going to be at the High Horse Saloon today at lunchtime from about noon to 2:00. We're covering 24% of your tab to make up for the 24% restaurant inflation. So that's kind of, and we'll have some gift cards as well, John. So come on out and we'll even pick up part of your tab, you know.
That's a good point to make. And you have the Biden regime and their propagandists out there constantly telling you that it's all good, it's all great. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain over here, right? Pay no attention to the 24% rise in everything you buy at the grocery store.
Well, right? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, it was so great meeting so many great folks in Lodgegrass yesterday. But, you know, everybody gets it. If you were out there saying, oh, no, inflation's going down. It's going down. It's going down. I was talking with the little kids because they were on spring break. There were some great little kids that came up, too. And I said, hey, you know, if they were there with mom or dad, I said, can you see it, too? I said, you know, like the candy that you want to buy, have you noticed how it's more expensive? And their eyes were like, yes. Their eyes were like Easter basket big. They're like, oh, yeah, the prices are up like crazy.
And then they do that shrinkflation, right, too. I mean, you buy the same thing you bought 4 years ago, and it's shrunk by a third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. All right, let's go to Frank in Evergreen. Just about out of time. Frank, what did you want to share?
I want to share that back in 1909, the world's first AM radio station started, and the term broadcasting began. Doc Herold, he was from Stanford there at Palo Alto in San Jose there. And what's interesting about 1909 is that Woodrow Wilson had the Radio Control Act of 1909, in which to own an AM radio or any radio or transmitter was against the law and was subject to confiscation. And, you know, here we go into the digital age. They want to do away with the AM frequencies on radios and cars. Woodrow Wilson was a Democrat. So look who the people are who's trying to silence our speech.
Who was I listening to? Somebody made a great point. Probably it was Molly Hemingway or something. They pointed out how Woodrow Wilson, like, threw 1,000 political opponents in jail when he was president of the United States. Imagine that. Frank, thanks for the call. Yeah, no, AM radio is so important to our national security as well. You know, if there were a public emergency, et cetera. So thanks for that. We've got about 30 seconds to go. Let's go to the mighty Human Z. What's going on?
Gentlemen, Snake Plissken will not get Pete Buttigieg to go to Baltimore. But pirate talk will. So, John, I know you have an inner arg. You say that a lot. People show up there and solve the whole problem. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Arg.
It's a good thing we got a break right now, because I don't know what to say after that one.
I'm cutting his mic off.
Best kind
of pirate.
All right, it's unwoke, but man, that name, I just feel like that name's across the line, even for the most unwoke hour of the week. We're going to keep the unwokeness going. John's going to stick around for a few